Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, children, Black Hole Radio is proud to present Mother's Milk with our gracious hostess, Sister Samia Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Good evening. Hope everybody's having a good evening and that you are not stuck in traffic somewhere, that you're not in the cold. And if you are, hope that you're on your way home ready to get to a nice warm place with lights and the comforts of a decent home. Many of the areas of the country are under weather that can only be described as a divine chastisement. The degree of snow and hail and ice and all the things that are happening, if you happen to be in those kind of areas, I pray that you are prepared, that you've been listening to our brothers and sisters who are showing you how to be prepared in times like this, and that you have heeded the warnings, and that you are not in an area where you're not prepared for what's going on around you. If you are in areas that are heavily snowed, I pray that you don't go out absolutely necessary. You know, we have to respect the weather. We've gotten to the point where many of us have fallen under the guidance of those who have no respect for the God and the creation and the weather. So we're going to make things our way, whether it's regardless of what's going on outside. You look at the forecast, you know it's going to snow, you know you've got this heavy snow coming, and instead of you rearranging your schedule, we're like, well, I'm going anyway. And then we get stuck on highways, we get stuck in areas where we're in car accidents, all kinds of things are happening because we just didn't heed a warning. A warning is there for a reason. Okay, if you are and you just have to go someplace, then make sure that your car is equipped to, number one, carry you there safely. Number two, you have emergency supplies in your cars. Do not get in your car at this point in time without at least a full tank of gas if you're going anywhere in this kind of weather. Because if you get stuck and you have to sit on the highway for hours or hour or two, then you need to be able to stay warm and not be in a car that's got a quarter of a tank of gas and you run out of gas, and that's another problem that you have in the car. Make sure that you take blankets in your car. Make sure you have water in your car. Make sure you have some kind of nutritional snack in your car. If you have children, make sure you have some way for them to relieve themselves in the car with you, because people are getting stuck on highways. They're sitting there for hours and hours, and it's not a pretty thing to have to be sitting in the cold, unprepared, in those kind of situations. So dress appropriately, dress in layers. Make sure that you have shoes and or footwear that is going to keep your feet as warm and dry as possible. If you have to carry extra socks and things like that, that will allow you to go ahead and change out if your feet get wet. You don't want to sit and have your feet be wet and cold, because the feet and the head are two areas that can go very quickly, the extremities, your hands, your feet, your head. Make sure you carry extra things if you're driving along in a car. If you have to be on foot, you know, and you have to get in the subways and things like that in New York, places like that, make sure you carry some extra footwear so when you go get where you're going, you can change out, put on some warm socks, put on some dry foot socks and things and put on an extra pair of shoes that are dry. You don't want to have to get frostbitten. Gloves. Make sure you wear your gloves and, again, have an extra pair of those if you can, because gloves tend to get wet from you touching railings and different things as you're traveling in the cities. So try and carry a little bit of extra stuff with you as you go about in the snow. It's best if you carry a backpack rather than have to try and lug big bags with you, especially women. You know, it's a, get your cute backpack if you're trying to still look cute. I already told you this is not cute weather, but if you're still trying to get cute, get your cute backpack. That way your hands are free to help you hold on to things and be balanced if you're dealing with ice and snow. Make sure you look out for your neighbors and people who are elderly in this kind of weather. You know, if you have neighbors that you know or can't get to the store or whatever, offer to get them whatever they need so that they're comfortable. So if you're traveling about, make sure you put on earmuffs, hats, things that keep the heat in your head, because that is where the heat escapes the first. In the first place the heat is going to go out of is your head. So make sure you have some kind of nice hat on, a hood even, to and a scarf around your neck. Keep those things covered up, and you have less of a chance of having exposed skin and turning around getting cold. So wear your hats, wear your gloves, get your hoods. You know, a coat with a hood is a good thing, especially if you're a mother that has lots of little children. That way you don't have to worry about trying to balance an umbrella, hold onto a child. Just throw your hood on your head, tie it up good, and then, you know, you're good to go, and you can deal better with your children. Like I said before, this is ugly weather. This is not the time to try and be a fashion diva. Save that for the spring and the summer when it's warm and that's cute time. This is not be cute. This is get warm, be dressed in layers. Make sure you have long coats to cover your back, your backside, especially the young girls. It's very important that they keep those areas warm, because they'll pay for it later on in life when they've got all kind of arthritis in their backs and things like that. So be wise, mothers, when you pick out your children's coats. And this is the time when you don't care if your children don't like you. Make sure that they are well protected from the cold. So get them a coat that might not be the cutest coat that they want, but it's fine. I don't care. You're going to be warm, so you're going to get this coat instead of that short one that just comes to your waist. So once again, I've said this before, you know, so I'll keep repeating as we go throughout the winter, because there are some people that will not have heard. But if you have very, very small children, you know, either buy the mittens that have a string attached, or you get some yarn and you sew them so that you put each mitten is tied to the other end and string it through the coat. That way you won't have to worry so much about losing mittens every day. When you go shopping, at least make sure you buy a couple extra pair because they're going to lose them. But teach your children how to keep up with all these little extra things that they have to wear in the wintertime. So when your children take off their coats, make sure that they take off the glove that's on their right hand, put it in their right coat pocket. The glove that's on their left hand, put it in their left coat pocket. That way, and then take the hat and put it in the sleeve, put the scarf around the neck of the coat, or stuff that in the other sleeve. This way, when your child hangs their coat up in school or wherever they're going to be, all that stuff is together so they don't have to run around looking for it when it's time for you to go home. Keep your children close to you in the darkness. Most of us will now be leaving home, leaving for home from aftercare or daycare or whatever, and it's already dark. Make sure you keep your children close by, especially as people are moving about, rushing here and there, trying to get shopping and things done, and not really paying attention to you or your children. Crossing the street, make sure that you try and do your best to not step out in the street before time or linger after time. I used to have few children traveling with me at all times. I'd make sure they held each other's hands, and I'd make sure that those whose hands I did not have, that they were holding on to the pockets of my coat as we crossed the street, to make sure I had a control over all of them so that we can cross safely together. It is real important that you keep alert at this point in time, because there's a lot going on. A lot of people are not paying attention and they're only concerned about where they're going. So try and stay alert. Be careful as you walk about the streets in this kind of darkness, because darkness comes before you know it. It comes real quick. And try not to venture out in the darkness. If you have to go somewhere, try and be on your way home as the darkness is coming down. It's not a good thing for us to go out in the darkness with our children, and unless you have your spouse or your older brothers or your uncle, some male with you, to be a deterrent to a lot of the crime and stuff that's going on in our neighborhoods. So just be careful as we go about the business of moving about in this cold weather. Okay, now, because the weather is being forecast to be very severe in most of the country, the Northeast, make sure that your homes have water. Make sure that you have flashlights and things in case your lights go out. If you can have some kind of, if you have to all be in one room because it's your heat is off and your lights are off, get everybody together in one space so that and close off the other spaces so that it won't be as cold where you are. We've had that to happen to us when we lived in New York, and my children were all small, and the boiler broke in the building that we lived in, and we all had to all huddle up in one room and close all the rest of the doors and pile all the blankets on one or two beds so we could keep everybody warm until the heat came back on. Some people have been locked down in their homes for days, so we need to be about the business of making sure that we have the kind of things we need in our homes. If you have, if you've been able to get like the heavy ski type of leggings and things like that, it's good to invest in some to keep them just in your closet. You don't have to wear them on an everyday basis, but have them so that if it gets really, really cold, that you can layer up and put those on top of your pants and your regular garments so that you won't suffer from hypothermia as you go about your move about. So it's important to be planning right about now, because we should have done all of this, but in case we didn't, and you're on your way home now and you're in one of those areas where the snow is coming your way, make sure that your car is prepared, that you're prepared, that your family is well prepared with warm clothing, because it's very important that you keep yourselves from getting sick in a time like this. So once again, your food, if you have to have canned, we should have canned goods in our homes already. In the event that your stoves are not working and need to be able to heat up something quickly, make sure you have water. Water is more important than eating at any point in time. You don't want to get dehydrated. So I know in the cold we tend not to think about drinking water, but do not let yourselves get dehydrated because it's cold. If you're going to drink hot things like tea and coffee and hot chocolate, make sure you also drink your water at the same time, because we need to keep the body from getting out of whack while we try to stay warm. And one of the good, important things is not to get cold in the first place, so do everything you can to keep yourselves from getting so getting yourself cold in the wintertime. So you're listening to Mother's Milk, and my name is Samia Muhammad, and I hope that some of the things I've said to you so far have been of help to you. We are, as we go along and get closer to the holidays, some of us tend to get very stressed out because we try to overextend ourselves either by going places that we, running all over the place. Your body needs rest. Make sure you get some. Don't allow yourself to get so stressed out during these. Be trying to please everybody. You can never please everybody. Pick and choose where you're going to be, what you're going to do, and make sure you rest. The body needs a lot of rest when you're at a time like this when you're trying to get everything done. So take moments out and say, hey, look, this is not, I'll go here, but I'm not going there, and I'm going to just keep my family in, and we're going to just enjoy ourselves. It's more important that you enjoy your family life, that you enjoy the people around you, than you run all over the place and try to prove to somebody that you are the most popular person on the planet during these time, this time of year. It's better that you reserve your energy and pick and choose where you want to be, and definitely pick and choose your company at a time like this when people tend to, in the name of having a good time, overdo things in terms of their drinking and their partying and forgetting who they are. So pick and choose where you want to be, who you want to be with, because it's real important that you take your time and do that. My name is Samia Muhammad. You've been listening to Mother's Milk. If you'd like to call in, we would be happy to have a talk with you. Okay. I was looking at some old papers that I had, and you can call in at 323-927. Okay, and my number just disappeared on me. Anyway,
that's
okay,
2913 Continue on, Queen.
Okay, my computer is acting up. It keeps shutting down on me, so I'm looking at what's happening, and I'm like, what is going on here? Anyway, so yes, if you'd like to call and talk to me, as the brother said, it's 323-927-2913. I was looking at some notes that I had taken a long time ago about just different things to do with your children from birth on, and I had written some notes many, many years ago. I was laughing at the way it looks because it's the paper is yellow, and I've had these notes forever. So I thought I'd share some things with you all in terms of how we deal with getting prepared for children in our lives. If you are a young person, you have a young girl, and you're a teenager, these are the years you start beginning to become a mother. What do I mean by that? Eat properly, rest properly, take care of your health, exercise, stay in shape. It's not time to get out of shape. Start getting your body used to exercise, strengthening your body, but not to the point where you make it difficult for you to bear children later on. But young girls need to make sure they take their vitamins, make sure they sleep. Now, mothers, I know you look at your teenage daughter and you're like, why is she always sleeping? Well, that's Allah's way of preparing this young woman to become a mother at some point in time, because this is the only time really that she's going to get to sleep for a good amount of time. Once you enter into the realm of motherhood, you all know that from the time you get pregnant to the time you have your children till the time they're grown, there is very little sleep that women, uninterrupted sleep that women get. So your teenage girls need to get as much rest as they can. They need to take vitamins to make sure that they are not anemic. One of the biggest problems that young girls have when they first get married and start having children is that they're anemic because they have not eaten well-balanced diets as teenagers. So keep your girls from eating a lot of junk. Make sure that they have good, healthy food, that they begin to exercise healthy eating habits in their teen years. Make sure that they have regular checkups, that their dental work is good, because, you know, as you have children, they tend to pull on whatever they need from your body. They're going to get it. And if you have not taken care of your teeth and your bones, then you start to have problems as you start to have children. So make sure that your teenage girls get plenty of rest, that they have their vitamins, that they develop healthy eating habits. Please teach your girls how to cook, mothers. Even if you and her have to go have some lessons together, because you know, one of the big problems that we're having with our children and them being so obese is that we are not feeding them properly because we're not cooking. So teach your girls how to cook proper meals, balanced meals, and get them prepared in that way. Once you are a young woman and you're married and you're starting to have your children, again, you need to emphasize your emphasis should be on your health as you prepare. And you, once you find out you're pregnant, then definitely you need to have your prenatal checkups. You need to have your vitamins. Make sure that you eat well. Make sure you get as much rest as you can. Like I said, because once you have that child, you will get very little sleep. Prepare to have natural childbirth if you can. Prepare to nurse your children. There are classes on natural childbirth. Do the best you can to make your baby come as naturally as possible. What tends to happen is because it's a money factor, the hospitals want to make more money, and it's more money for them. If they give you a cesarean, they will talk you into having a cesarean or epidural, meaning they're going to give you all this medication to help you have this baby when all of that's really not necessary. So if you plan well, if you know your own body, if you know you keep good records as to when you got pregnant, then you know when better than most doctors when you're about to have that baby. They will tell you, oh, the baby's due, and it's really not, and you get frustrated, and your husband gets frustrated because y'all are taking, the baby seems to be taking too long. The baby's not going to be born a moment before it's supposed to. But you have to know your body so that you don't end up being tricked into having to have procedures that are not necessary. I witnessed a sister. I was with her, and I told her, I said, look, you're okay. You're going to make it through this last a half hour. And she's like, oh, no, I can't. And the moment she took this epidural, the baby came like within like another 10, 20 minutes. And I was telling her, hey, you don't need it. You know, if you understand and you study and you understand what labor is, what most of us think is labor is just pre-labor. And that real labor, that hard labor is like that last half hour, last 45 minutes before you deliver that baby. That's a whole different kind of labor, and women need to know that so they don't panic and end up having unnecessary drugs given to them before they deliver the baby. Sisters, you need to walk that last mile with that baby naturally. Don't give up and give in to the pain and say, oh, I can't do it, because Allah needs you to go through that bonding process, which is that last hour of labor before that baby is born. Yes, it's painful, but it makes you and that baby one. It makes a bond between you where you will do all in your power for that child once it lives, once it comes. So you don't want to cut that short and cut out that bond because you are in some kind of pain. The pain that you feel is there for a reason. God takes us to that door of death so that we understand that this is, that we are co-creators with Him in bringing this life forth, and that we must feel this pain and understand it, and so you appreciate this child when it comes. So don't be so quick to just give up and have people give you epidurals where you drugged, the baby's drugged, and you miss out on that last bonding moment between you and your child. So I wanted to talk about that just for a minute because we have so much bad advice when it comes to us and our children and giving birth and all of those things. So once you now have given birth to this child, then you have the option of whether you're going to nurse your child or you're going to give your child a bottle. I know the pressure is on because economically most of us have to work, and young women are going back to work so fast after having babies. It is mind-boggling to me that young women are returning to work with a baby that's 6 weeks old or a month old. I'm like, what are you all doing? I mean, we had to do that back in slavery. We should not have to do that now, where we're being so pressured by finances that we are dropping babies and giving them to somebody, anybody, to care for, and then we wonder what's happening with our children. So try and really plan so that you don't have to leave your baby so young. The Quran tells us we need to nurse our babies for 2 years. Strive to do that if you can. If you have picked wisely your partner and you two have planned well, then you shouldn't have to run out and leave your child to somebody else to raise at such a very, very young age where you don't get to bond with that child. The nursing mother and child are a couple. They are a bond that should not be broken. And when you get the opportunity to nurse your child, what you're doing is giving your child an extra mental boost. The protein in mother's milk is there to develop the brain of your child. You bring a more intelligent child into the world if you nurse your child. One of the things, the studies they found, I know when I first had my oldest son, I think I was the only one on the whole ward of the 12 or 13 babies that were born that weekend. I was the only one nursing because I was following the dictates of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Didn't know what I was doing, but I was doing it nonetheless. And I remember the docs, the nurses coming around and saying that I had to give this child iron because there was no iron in mother's milk. So I tried it the first couple of times, and I noticed that when my son had a bowel movement, it was totally black. And not only was it black, I couldn't get it off his legs when I went to scrub and clean him. I'm like, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this? Nope. So I stopped giving it to him. And a few years later, there was an article that appeared in, of all places, Consumer Reports. And it said that they had been looking for the iron in the mother's milk in the wrong part of the milk. And that once the scientists found it, they realized not only was it there, but it was 100% absorbable by the child, whereas the supplemental iron was only 50% absorbable. So, you know, my philosophy was, well, hey, if it wasn't in there, then they didn't need it. So, you know, since Allah created this perfect milk for us to give our children, and if it's not there, then he didn't need it. But it was there, and it was there in an absolute sufficient amount. So do your research, read a lot, talk to people, seek their advice who know, and make good decisions when it comes to how you're going to nourish your child when it's first born. Okay, you listen to Mother's Milk, and my name is Samia Muhammad, and we'll be right back.
Black Hole Radio and the FOI Board of Directors present The Final Call.
The Final Call. The Final Call is the country's unique leading source for news. Founded by the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, National Representative of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the Nation of Islam, The Final Call follows in the tradition of Muhammad Speaks with hard-hitting national and international news and coverage of political issues. It is the official communications organ of the Nation of Islam. Founded in the 1930s as the Final Call to Islam, the newspaper evolved into Muhammad Speaks in the 1960s and boasted a circulation of 900,000 a week with monthly circulation of 2.5 million. Today, the Final Call newspaper serves a readership of diverse economic and educational backgrounds, including circulation in North America, Europe, Africa, and the Caribbean. Read the Final Call newspaper. You can find one of the beautifully bow-tied representatives in your community or read finalcall.com.
And now, like all respectable children, we return to Mother's Milk.
You've been listening to Mother's Milk. My name is Samia Muhammad, and I have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hello.
What's going on, man?
Everything. How are you?
Good. How about you? I had a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Here, let me turn down my TV real quick. I don't know if you've had any. I mean, how many callers you got? A lot of followers, or...
Sure, we do. How can I help you? What's your call about? What's your question?
Well, I was wondering, because when you go to your, when you go to Blog Talk Radio and you select your show to listen to it live, it don't listen, let you listen to it unless you call in. And it's like that with every show on there. Do you know why?
That's
I can't
call,
even listen to your show. It don't work.
You have to call the engineers to talk to them about that. I'm only here to talk about Mother's Milk and...
Well, I understand, but you haven't had no other complaints that nobody can actually listen to your show from the internet?
Oh, I haven't had that complaint.
No? Oh, how do your listeners usually do it? I mean, it's your show. I'm trying to listen to it, but it won't let me online.
Oh, we might be having technical difficulties. Just refresh it and try it again, okay?
All right. Well, I'll give it a shot, I guess. If not, you lost a listener.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe you should ask someone.
Okay, you've been listening to Mother's Milk, and I pray that everybody else can hear me. That caller was having difficulties. I hope that he can go ahead and get it. But anyway, I was talking about nursing children. Now, that's a process that it requires study. So there are all kind of very good books out now about nursing and so that you can do it properly. One of the things that a lot of mothers, young mothers, get frustrated with is they don't understand the process. Number one, little babies who are being nursed do not have a lot of waste. They utilize everything that they get out of the milk. So if you have plenty of wet diapers, the baby's getting enough. A lot of mothers panic. They're like, oh, my God, the baby hasn't had a bowel movement in so many days or whatever. That's normal because they're not creating anything that's not being utilized. So, and then they look and they get panicky about the way the baby's waste look. It's not going to be solid because there's no solid waste going to be there. It's going to be like a pea soup. So don't get panicky about that. The other thing is that when you are nursing a child, it is a complete supply and demand. Okay, the demand for the milk is created by how the baby nurses, how often the baby nurses. So as the baby grows, when you first bring it home, it's going to need a certain amount of milk, maybe an ounce or so. Within a couple of weeks, they need to increase that amount, so they're going to nurse more frequently. And this is when people get confused and get frustrated, and a lot of times women want to give up at that point because they're thinking, well, the baby's not getting enough milk. The baby is. It's having what they call a frequency day. They're going to have those periodically as the demand for more milk comes about. They're going to have to go ahead and do that. So don't panic, and you must, if you don't do anything else, you must drink a lot. Drink a lot of water, drink milk. Make sure you're constantly taking in fluids so that you can nurse that baby properly. The baby, you as a nursing mother are going to need rest. But you're going to have to eat properly also. Whatever you eat is going to affect the baby. I remember being a very young mother and deciding, oh, I need to stay up because I got a lot of things I need to get done. So I made the mistake of drinking some coffee. And then, of course, the baby got the coffee too. So the caffeine that affected me kept me up, also kept the baby up, which kind of messed up my whole scheme of things because it was just the opposite of what I wanted to happen. So know that whatever you eat and drink, the baby's going to get some of that also. So if you, very spicy foods may give your child a bad reaction. Some foods that create gas, and you will create gas in a child. So you have to really be careful as you go about trying to nourish your child. So it's real important, though, that you take these things into consideration and talk to people who have done it and know what to do if you get stuck. But don't give up. It's one of the best things you can do for your children. It keeps them from being obese. If you nurse your child, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to be overweight. They'll take on the type of fat that is healthy as opposed to non-healthy fat. I had a daughter who was born very, very thin. She was born 5 pounds, 13 ounces. And when we took her for her first checkup, they couldn't believe that this child had doubled her birth weight. They're like, how did she do that? I'm like, oh, she's just been nursing. So it's a very good thing to do. It's one of the best things you could do for your child. Besides, it creates a bond between you and a child that will never be broken, and it's worth you taking the time to make sure that that happens. Okay, so now you've got this child who is very young, and you need to stimulate their mind. There were studies done where they couldn't figure out why children in the earlier part of the century who were brought up in orphanages were seemed to be mentally slower than children who were brought up at home. And one of the things they found out was that there was no visual stimulation. Everything, the walls were white, the sheets were white, the crib was white. There was nothing to get this child's mind focused on anything. So make sure you have some kind of color around the child at all times, on their sheets, their blankets. Try to put mobiles and things that are moving around, and something for them to keep their eyes focused on. Now, unfortunately, we're in a society where everything's thing is now bells and whistles, and they tend to overdo it. You don't want to overstimulate the child, but pick things that you want to put in your child's environment that are going to stimulate their mental action and their mental activity so that they will have something to focus on, and it will get them to thinking and looking. Talk to your child. Talk to your child when you're carrying in the womb. Talk to because your children can hear when they're in the womb. If you've ever, when you're carrying a child and you bang a pot or something, the child will jump. So you know they can hear. So as you try and keep them away from harsh noises and bad conversation and bad vibrations from bad people, so make sure that you speak to your child, talk to your child in full sentences. Yes, you can, the goo-goo ga-ga is good, but also talk to the child in an intelligent manner so you can create an intelligent child. Your child is going to imitate the kind of speech that you surround it with. So speak to your children. I played tapes of the minister when I was pregnant, and, you know, classical music, all kinds of things. So you want to make sure that what you surround yourself with is all positive for your children. That baby that's not born and the one that is, they hear everything that goes on around them. So try and keep the things around them positive and calm. If you want a calm baby, you need a calm environment. So keep your children so that they can touch things and be stimulated through the things that they touch, soft animals and different textures, because a child will feel things with their hands, but also little babies are scientists, and the first thing they're going to do is put everything in their mouth. They're not putting it in their mouth just because. They're putting it in their mouth because this is the way that they make contact with their world, and they get to feel things and learn from their mouths what things feel like. And so just make sure they're clean. Keep the things clean because they're going to put them in their mouth. So don't say, hey, the child's supposed to put it in their mouth, so make sure whatever you give them is not toxic, that it's clean. You keep it clean, cleansed often, and because they're going to put everything in their mouth. Okay, hand and eye coordination, that's what they're trying to figure out. It's going to take them a minute to figure out how to pick that thing up and put it where they want it. So the first thing they're going to do is they get it in their mouth. That's a victory for them. So these are the kind of things that you want to stimulate your children to do. Make sure you sing to your baby, you read to your baby, and you hold your baby. Your baby becomes the dictator in the house. There used to be a school of thought where you just let the baby cry and you put the child on a strict schedule. What? No, that's not the way. That's not the way you raise a healthy child. If you want a psychotic nut, then you let the baby sit there and scream and holler, and don't pick it up. Pick up your child. Talk to your child often. Love your child, because they're only going to be babies for a short period of time. Before you know it, you're going to be looking in their eyes. So they're going to be tall as you are taller. So take care and enjoy having your babies. Nowadays, babyhood is so full of stress for young mothers because they're constantly running around doing all kinds of things, and they're not sitting and they're taking the time to enjoy those babies. Now, I do have an issue with these new Pamper commercials that I'm seeing that they're talking about putting a child in a Pamper and letting it be wet from 8 o'clock to all, you know, in the morning. That's crazy. We don't know what's in these Pampers, this kind of gel and stuff that they're putting in there that's supposed to be super absorbent. Please check this stuff out before you put it on your child, because they're finding some children are breaking out with these very horrible rashes from these diapers that, you know, these manufacturing companies are famous for putting something out there and telling you it's safe, and then 5 or 6 years from now they go, oh, oops, sorry, we made a mistake. That was toxic. So do your research. Make sure that whatever you put on your children is safe for them. It's not going to cause them harm in the long run. One of the things I've noticed, young people, young mothers don't change their babies often enough. You let these children sit in these soggy diapers, and instead of checking to see if they're wet, the first thing the mother wants to do is stick a bottle or some type of food in the child's mouth. Check always first to see if the child's wet. That's the first thing you want to make sure. Are they wet? Are they overheated? Little babies get overheated quickly. Sometimes we have them so dressed up, trying to have them look like little doll babies, that we're not considering their comfort. Several times I've had to tell sisters in the mosque, hey, the baby's hot. Take all that stuff off the child. Strip them down to just their undershirt and their pamper, because you got this child, you know, just so uncomfortably hot because you've got all these clothes on it and it's hot in here. You know, be cognizant of temperature. Babies feel very differently than you do. We go to the other extreme where we have women who have a young baby out that's maybe not even 3 weeks old. The baby is got nothing on it. It's flailing all over the place because little babies still need to be swaddled. There's a need for them to feel that they're still being cozy like they were in the womb. So they want to have those little blankets tucked around them. They want to feel tightly held. And we're doing just the opposite. And the baby's just all over the place crying and screaming. And, you know, this is a newborn. You can tell by their cry. I'm like, how old is this baby? Oh, the baby's 5 days old. Well, why is this baby out in the public? You know, why are you out here in store with this baby being exposed to everybody, you know? And I'll tell the mother, hey, put the blanket or something to cover over the baby so the baby's not being exposed to all of the bad things, the harmful things that are in the environment, people that are smoking, people are sick, and you've got this very young baby in the street. So let us be a little bit more intelligent about what we're doing with our newborns and who we're exposing them to as we take them out in the streets. So, again, you're listening to Mother's Milk. This is Samia Muhammad, and our number is 323-927-2913 if you want to call in and ask any questions or you want to share some things with us. Time is flying. okay, that's our babies from birth to a year old. Now, as your children your children should not have to eat solid food until they can pick it up, put it in their mouth. Your breast milk should be sufficient enough that your babies don't have to be given, you know, some other people say, oh, they give them cereal. No, they don't need cereal. They don't need anything. But as long as you're eating nutritiously and you're feeding that baby often, nursing that baby often, they should not have to have a whole bunch of supplements. My children did not like water. They refused to take bottles. That, like, some of us, you know, we just stick this rubber nipple in our child's mouth. We don't know what this is doing to the child. And anything to shut them up. That's not good parenting. I know we're in a society where that tells us this is what we should do, but mothers, we don't know what we're creating in our children because we're not taking the time to care for that child properly. We're wanting the child just to be quiet. You stick this, whatever you call it, booba, whatever you're calling them, in their mouth, and they're sucking on this thing for hours, and there's no nutrition. There's no value to it. So we need to be a little bit more wise in the choices that we're making with our very young babies. Your children need plenty of room to be able to get down and explore. So you need to have an area in your home where you put the baby down, let it crawl around, make sure there's nothing that they can pull down on themselves. But let your children explore. Give them things to look at and to crawl around and get themselves strong enough to pull up and start to walk, you know, it's one of the most amazing things to see a baby take its first steps. Unfortunately, too many of us as mothers are not there anymore to see their first steps, and we don't, somebody else is watching because we're busy having to work. And it's a sad commentary on our society now, because everything is about money, everything is about things, and very few things are about us as family, taking care of family. So I want to encourage you all to get together with your spouses and rethink some of our choices that we're making in terms of our children. Our children are young only one time, and if you spend the time with them, if you spend the time that it takes to raise them properly, you won't regret it. So once again, I said, this is Samia Muhammad. You've been listening to Mother's Milk. As your children become toddlers, it becomes more and more important to be organized. You need to be able to get all the work, things that you need to get done, but at the same time, they need to be taught all the things that are about their environment. So you need to tell them a lot of things, what colors are. You need to talk to them in full sentences. When your children begin to talk back, encourage them to talk in full sentences. A lot of times we don't ask full questions. We don't require of them a full answer, and our children do not know how to communicate once it becomes necessary for them to get into school and communicate. So let us help our children to communicate, so we can communicate with them in a manner that will stimulate their brains and have them to be a part of good conversation. If you're going to buy toys, make sure the toys are toys that will help them to be creative. You know, you can get them, and I know Legos and things like that tend to create a mess, but those are the kind of things that will help your children to become better thinkers. Hand and eye coordination is important, things that will allow them to exercise those things, the small muscles in their hands, and stimulate their brains. So be about that, and books and music and all these kind of things need to be around your children. Read to your children at bedtime. Be careful what you read, though, but read to them, and let them see, point to the letters as you're reading, so they know these are words, and what I say to you is also on this paper. So make those kind of connections very early, so children know what reading is and know that the conversation they have can also be read to them in a book. So please don't sit your children in front of video games and iPads and all these things and let them take the place of you interacting with your children. We have got so many children who have been raised by television, and it gets to the point where all of them sound exactly alike because their tone, intonation, and their way of speech and their speech patterns are being formed by these various characters that they're looking at on television. Even if it's quote-unquote educational television, your child his personality is being formed by somebody they don't even know. So we need to be more involved with our children. Talk to them, have them talk to you. Be cognizant of the fact that of their development. Are they speaking properly? Are they walking properly? Make sure they have regular checkups so you know that they are indeed on point weight-wise. Their mental development is on par, so that you spot whatever problems there may be very young. I was in the third grade before anybody realized that I had what they call lazy eye, and I couldn't see out of my right eye. So that was the way we lived back then. So we need to make sure you get your children dental checkups, eye checkups, keep them, make sure that they are that they are physically well, and try and keep them well and healthy. Meals, do your best to prepare well-balanced meals for your children. Fast food is not the way to go. All of these sugary cereals and all that stuff, you know, go back to, I may take a little bit more time, but go back to the old-fashioned way of feeding your children in the mornings. McDonald's is not the way. I know you're rushing, but it won't take you that much time to prepare a hot cereal for your children. By yourself, what they call a double boil. One pot sits inside the other. Keep the boiling water on the bottom. You can throw the cereal in there, and you can walk away, brush somebody's hair, and come back. It won't be burnt because the water is boiling on the bottom, and it's keeping the pot hot, but it's not. There's no actual fire there to burn your cereal. So that's one of your good investments. Get a double boiler. Get your children oatmeal, farina, those kind of things, and give them a nice hot meal in the morning. Do not rely on the schools to feed your children. They are not going to give them the best food. And down the road, you will find that your children are having all kind of problems because the food is not the best. I had one son who would get sick every day at school because he was drinking the milk. And we had to just stop him from drinking milk because the milk was being sitting out, getting warm, then it was being, you know, getting made cold again, then it would get hot again. So we need to be careful about those things as we take our children, as our children go on to school and in places where we're not feeding them. Let's take charge of our children's stomachs again. Let us not let our enemies continue to feed our children. That's just what's happening. So, okay, we're coming up on the end of our show almost. Okay, it's been good talking to you. We're going to continue this conversation next week. I have so much more to deal with. We only got to the toddler stage. So I hope that it's been informative. One thing before I go, you know, our dear brother Nelson Mandela has passed away, and may Allah be pleased with him. He was a great soldier in the fight for human rights in South Africa. They're trying to paint him with this brush of liberalism, that he was, you know, always loved. No, the man was a terrorist in the eyes of the South African government as well as the United States government up until the year 2000. Let us not allow these people to twist the history of our heroes and make them into milquetoast people when they were truly freedom fighters. This man fought for the freedom of the blacks in South Africa. They wanted their land back. That's what the fight was about. This is why he went to jail for 27 years. This is why Miriam Makeba was exiled for 27 years, because they spoke out against the ruthless treatment that black people received at the hands of the South Africans, Afrikaans, the whites who were there in South Africa. Let's not get it twisted. Let's not let them make us think that this man was all about peace and love and singing Kumbaya. That was not Nelson Mandela. Winnie Mandela is a hero in this story. They definitely want to write her out of the picture because they did not like her. But this is the woman who went all over the world and brought his story, kept his fight alive, kept his personality out in the public. When she wrote, "Part of My Soul Left With Him," and she went around and she petitioned all over the world to help her husband get out of jail, she is one of our sheroes, and she should not be pushed to the side. Go take your children, sit them down, let them know who Mandela really was, because these people are going to make him into somebody else. You can go to YouTube and pull up the voices of Sarafina on it. They show the young people who came over from South Africa in the 80s as the ambassadors to the black people in their country, to let them know, hey, this is what's happening to us. We're being slaughtered. We're being killed because we don't want to just bow down to those who are not of us, who are presently running our country. So let your children know the real story about Nelson Mandela. You study and let them see who this man really was, because in the next 10 days, next 7 days until they bury this man, the powers that be are going to make him into somebody who really was just a nice old man. No, he didn't start out a nice old man. We need to go and look at the history, look at his speeches that he gave when he was arrested and was being tried as a terrorist in South Africa. This was a man of strength, a man of courage, and a man who stood up with his comrades for what they believed, and that they refused to let anybody make them less than what they were. It is real important that we let our young people who who are teenagers today who don't know him, who don't know that struggle, who don't even know our struggle here in America. We need to educate them. We need to let them sit and look and understand why, how they've gotten what they've gotten. Our, a lot of our children are so spoiled now. They can't get what they want. They're pouting and carrying on, but they have no idea the price that anybody paid for what they have. They think that I was reading in the book, $40 Million Slaves, talking about the basketball players, how a young girl was sitting and watching a game, and she, a white guy was on the court. She said, oh, when did they start to, when did they start to integrate basketball? And she meant, when did they start letting white players play? She had no idea there was a time when black people did not play in major sports. So let us not be guilty of not passing on our legacy to our children, because we're not talking to them about real issues. We're not giving them the history, because to some of us it was so painful, we don't want to see it. But that we do our children a great disservice, and we set them up to be taken off by others because they don't know who they are, they don't know where they've come from. So let us continue to tell the story. Let us keep talking to our children and showing them the reality of what was and what needs to be. We have not arrived yet. We have not gotten there yet. Until we have some of this land we can call our own, we are not free. So I and with that, I encourage you to get involved with the economic blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which is being pushed very strongly by Minister Farrakhan at this time. You can go to economicblueprint.org. And you will see a way that we, as with our own, with our nickel a day, 35 cents a week, $18.20 for a whole year, how we pool these resources and come together and buy land that we can farm, that we can grow our own, that we as a people will be much better off. We've tried everything else. We've even got a black president, so we thought we had it made, and we see that all that did was to bring out the true colors of people who are still racist, who don't care for us and our people. So let us try this way. Let us go and support 100% what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is asking us to do, which is a nickel a day. Everybody should have a jar or some container on your tables, and every member of the family should put a nickel a day in it, and then just mail it to the address that you'll find when you go to economicblueprint.org. So that's our show for today. I pray that everyone has enjoyed it and gotten some benefit from it. Like I said, we'll continue to talk about educating our children in early childhood next week. And I hope that you will have a good week. Be careful. Be prepared. Take care of your families. Try to enjoy yourselves as you look forward to meeting up with family, because that's what this season should be about. If people have time off to be together, then as we close out this year, 2013, come together with family, reconcile, go through the steps of atonement if you've offended each other. But above all, make sure that you love one another, that you take time to be with your families and just enjoy yourselves together. You don't have to have a lot of spend a lot of money, buy people gifts that they're only going to throw in a closet. The better gift is that you be with those that you love, that you take care of each other, that you show each other the love that should be in a family. And I pray that everything, that you have a good week, and that that you're careful as you go about in the next couple of days, shopping and whatever you're doing, stay on alert. You know, my husband used to always tell my children, walk with a purpose. When you go out in the streets, don't lollygag, don't be so enamored by the lights and stuff that you're not paying attention to your own personal safety and that of your children and your family. May Allah continue to bless everybody, and God willing, I'll see you all next week. You've been listening to Mother's World. Thank you, and I'm signing off. Samia Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Mortimer, wake up.
What?
Come quick.
What?
Come quickly.
What?
What is this, Rasmus? Didn't
Masters?
I tell you never to...
Masters? He's sick. Missy Tammy, he about ready to die.
Well, let him die, Rasmus. Didn't I tell you never to come and disturb me?
Ah! What are you gonna do that for?
Listen, I works all day in the fields for that devil. Why do you think I care if he dies?
Well, listen, if Massa gone dead, what we all gonna do? What we all gonna do?
Rasmus, get a hold of yourself, man. This is opportunity knocking. First, you go get the password to the computer for Missy. Then, we're gonna go to www.blackholeradio.com. We're gonna click on the spinning black hole to enter the site. Then we're gonna click the register button and choose ourselves a username and a password and a display name. Then we're gonna give up our current email address. Push the register button and we're gonna begin. We're gonna listen to True School with Shango Blake, Nzinga Resurrected, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, and all these other good shows. We're gonna join a community, man, of free people. Don't you understand? Don't you understand? We's free!
Now, boy, I remember when radio used to be just like this. You turn on the radio and you actually get something for your money worth, even though it's free. You had to pay for no satellite radio back then. You had good, solid radio for your brain, something that make you think. I remember. Now, that's that black hole radio. Or Blog Talk Radio.
Ahoy there!
Ahoy! Arr!
We're looking for the pirate known as Blackface!
There be no pirates here, for pirates are a scourge on the seven seas, sir! Isn't that right, lad?
I want no trouble, sir. Simply a message from Her Majesty.
And what be that message, lad?
There is to be no more violence. Arr.
And what were we to do, sir, to still our loneliness?
Ah, that is easy, sir. Ask the tavern owner for the password to his Wi-Fi and log on to www.blackholeradio.com. Blackhole, W-H-O-L-E. Register and join on to any or all of the social media groups forming now and join for free.
We like free.
Then you can interact with forward-thinking, like-minded people who enjoy the shows that you love, such as Time for Truth, La Hora de la Verdad, and Unlawful Captives.
Aye, Black Hole Radio, the irresistible force in the universe.
Black Hole Radio, Black Hole Radio, Black Hole Radio, Black Hole Radio.